Namaste. Peace. Salam. I just want to say I love you guys. Welcome to the THC Show. I am your host, Jericho Spitz. Thank you guys for joining in. And I'm going to take a sip of my drink while I allow a few people to connect, log in, and get situated so that we can begin this dialogue about higher consciousness. It's been ongoing since last June when I first started this. We ended up taking a little hiatus because things in my personal life got a little too hectic for me to continue doing it every week as efficiently and as productively as I would have liked for it to be done. But now we are at a place in my life where we can do this again every Monday night, roughly 9 o'clock. I believe next week we're going to be able to start doing it 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time every Monday night. That's going to be what I'm going to shoot for. So unless there's any issues barring me from being able to do that, which I'll try to announce if I can, then we're going to do this show every Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I hope that as many of you guys as possible are available to join in and call in, comment, join the discussion, join the dialogue, because all of us are evolving towards higher consciousness, and we all have different perspectives and different wisdom, different intelligence, different education backgrounds, and we can all add something to this dialogue, even if we're asking different questions, because maybe you have a question to ask that no one's thought of yet, you know? So don't ever feel like, you know, anyone's question is too big or too small. If you need to know, we're all here to talk about it. I have questions. I'm ever learning every single day. I mean, not a day goes by that I'm not studying, reading, listening to lectures, watching documentaries. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, ever since I quit watching TV about 15, 16 years ago, I got really, really, really turned on by educating myself. It's something about knowledge that really does it for me. Like the same way sitcom television did it for me when I was a kid and in my teens, you know, it's something about learning esoteric knowledge that I know is hidden from most people, knowledge that is systematically suppressed by the elites or the powers that be, the things that they do not want us to know. Knowing and learning those things turns me on. So I'm hoping and praying that this is going to become infectious, and that I can infect other people with such a desire and lust for knowledge and information, especially esoteric information, especially information is love based and it's going to help you rise in your consciousness. Now, I posted in the group earlier after the show last week, I posted a question asking anybody in the group if they had any topics that they would like to discuss or any subjects for future shows that they would like to bring up. And so I'll just read off a list of some of the things that were mentioned in that post in the comments. We had someone suggest we do a show or talk about accessing the Akashic Records. I'm sure that some of you have an idea of what that is or may know what that is, but I'm sure also that some of you may not. So we can definitely touch on the Akashic Records. Just to be brief and give a quick summary of what it is, the Akashic Record I don't know if location is the correct word, but the Akashic Record is a record of all things that have ever transpired and will ever transpire and is transpiring now. Every thought, every deed, every atom that has ever existed and every vibration of every atom, it's all in this record. And this record is accessible by anyone who is able to traverse the astral plane with any level of proficiency, I would say. But there are various ways and methods for accessing the astral plane, and there are various ways for accessing the Akashic record once you're there. So I think that this might actually require an entire show. But if anybody wants to specifically dialogue about that on this particular episode, we are more than willing to touch on that topic. I can give you my experience with the Akashic record, and maybe that'll give you some a little bit of direction on it, so to speak. So another topic that was touched on was someone suggested that we should talk about how we can heal ourselves. Well, for one, I will talk a little bit about that on this show as well, because it's not something that has to require an entire episode, but we definitely, hey everybody, thanks for joining the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. You guys are awesome. So right now I was going to say, let's touch on how to heal yourself. Now there's different levels to the human experience here. We have the body, physical, what we call physical, even though it's made of light, made of stardust, the same way everything else is. We consider it to be physical because it's the most solid form of manifestation that we can experience. So healing the physical body is one level of healing. And then you have healing the mind, which would be your programming, that things that you can remember from this lifetime, and even if you can remember things from your past life, but definitely what you've been programmed with as a baby. Some of that is harmful to you. Some of your programming is helpful to you. And any of it that's toxic needs to be healed. So that's one. I mean, that's the second level of healing, or another level of healing, healing the mind. So then we also have a third part of our existence, which is our spirit. That is the immortal, non-dying part of you that has existed in every lifetime you've ever lived and ever will live and are living now. Your spirit is the most divine, highest vibrating aspect of a human being. And this can require healing as well. For example, if you have passed from one body to the next with an imbalance in your karma, then there's a debt that needs to be paid. So until that healing is going to take place, you're going to need to focus on that. So there's three levels of healing: the mind, body, and spirit. There's different religions and different spiritual paths that focus on the various aspects of the human experience and how to heal them. And if anybody has any particular questions in general that they'd like to find out or ask about this, I can give you my best information, but we'd always welcome dialogue from any experts in the field, or even not experts, but just anyone in general who has anything to say on this topic. Please join the dialogue. That's what this is all about. I'm here to foster an ongoing public dialogue about all things consciousness related. And I'm thankful for those of you that tune in to the show, that call into the show, and that leave comments to join the dialogue. I pray that more and more of you do this every day, I mean every week, so that we can get the ball rolling on this and get a very, very, very big, very popular dialogue going, where we talk about the things that matter to us the most, the things that people are scared to talk about in public, the things that they won't talk about on mainstream radio, the things that they won't talk about on mainstream television and news channels. Let's talk about the things that we as human beings should be talking about, things that are going to benefit us on our road to higher consciousness. So one of the next topics that was brought to our attention in the comments of that last post was sexual energy, sexual partners. I'm assuming that that was to mean something along the lines of sacred sex and twin flame sex, or twin flame connections. And so I would like to address that and I would say that I'm personally exploring Tantra and sacred sex myself. And I've learned and reached a level of consciousness where I see the detriment in low vibrational connection on a sexual level. I see the detriment to having any physical sexual contact with anyone other than someone you have a sacred connection with. I definitely see this detriment, and I've reprogrammed my own consciousness to be able to channel sexual energy into more creative endeavors that do not waste my sexual energy. Your Kundalini energy is a very powerful force that can be used to manifest anything you want into this reality. Most of us feel powerless because we give away so much of our sexual energy, and we give it away to lower vibrational connections that don't serve us. And we allow ourselves to be used and abused, and we allow our energy and resources to be used up by those who are not here to serve us and do not mean us love and do not mean us help and assistance, but only to drain us. So that being said, I've spent some time myself last year in 2018. I went for the first time in my entire life voluntarily for about 7 weeks without sexual contact with anyone. And it was a very, very eye-opening experience, a very powerful experience for myself. It gave me a lot more power and showed me how to take my power back from the lower vibrational sexual culture that I had been engulfed in for most of my life. And then again, but just because I was able to do that 7 week experiment, which at first, you know, it kind of was an experiment. I wasn't prepared and not prepared. It's not the right word. I wasn't fully reprogrammed yet. And I still indulge somewhat in lower vibrational encounters for maybe up to almost another year. But in the past year, I've been very, very adamant about keeping my sexual energy to myself unless it's going to be a high vibrational connection. And I'm learning a lot now from several people who I've been listening to lectures from, who talk about tantric sex and twin flame sex, sexual energy, and high vibrational sexual manifestation. I've been listening to people like Teal Swan. I've been listening to Santos Bonacci. Actually, let's talk about Santos Bonacci for a minute, because I believe that he might be one of the people who seems to be the most well-spoken and has the most clarity on the subject that I've come across so far. And there may be other people out there that have just as much clarity or whatnot, but from all of the people that I personally have come across, I have to say that the way that Santos Bonacci, and that's Bonacci, and he's from Australia, check this guy out on YouTube. He's got a channel, Mr. Astro Theology. You definitely want to hear what this guy has to say. Listen to all of his videos, because he expounds on countless topics with some of the most well done research that I've come across on some of the topics that matter to us the most. And he backs it all up with the most complete understanding of the ancient scriptures and language and etymology of all of these mistranslations and mistransliterations that have led to some of the low vibrational interpretations of these scriptures that we have today that don't serve us. I love the way that this guy expounds on some of these topics with the utmost knowledge and the utmost understanding. And you have to see some of his presentations and listen to his lectures and take what you can from it. And I'd love to hear what any of you guys think about what this guy teaches. He calls his body of knowledge and research, or his new philosophy, he calls syncretism. That's syncretism, I believe, syncretism. And it's like not a religion, more like a philosophical, theoretical, if you will, way to combine all of the ancient philosophical paths into one cohesive, easy to understand and comprehend once you study it all, philosophy that he calls syncretism. Now, I'm not endorsing that 100% because I haven't been through it all in order to say that I know that everything in it is 100% factually correct. So please don't mistake my endorsement of him as a full endorsement of everything that he teaches. Of course, everyone always has disagreements with certain little, you know, details and everything. And I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some things that I might not agree with him on, but I'm just saying everything I've come across so far, I've pretty much been in alignment with. Not necessarily so much about, I mean, not necessarily so much with his condescending tone to those who are ignorant of higher knowledge. Sometimes I feel like he can be a little ego and a little condescending to people, calling people idiots and calling people names. I think that overcoming ego and not being condescending to people is one of the better traits that a shaman or a teacher of higher thought should have. But once again, I'm not here to judge. I do still very much revere the man and his research, and it's well done. And I love him for what he's doing for humanity and risking his life in order to put out right knowledge to people. And I know that him and a lady companion of his were attacked recently by an armed killer who had a knife and busted her door in as they opened the door, and some killer with a knife busted the door in, and he tried to kill them. And I guess Santos defended them and he killed the guy. And I'm not sure about all the details of that incident, but I mean, I'm pretty sure this really did happen. And I know that they're recovering from maybe some knife wounds or something of the sort. And I just hope that they're doing well now. I hope that they're healing. And I hope that you guys all send a prayer out to Santos and his friend. I think her name's Katie, just send some love and light their way. And we wish them a speedy healing process after this attack. And we hope and pray that you guys are protected from anything further of the sort, because, you know, no one should be attacked and no one should have to worry about their life being threatened simply for putting out right knowledge and trying to inform humanity about the amnesia that we're all experiencing as a species. We have no idea what ancient history has for us. We have no idea who we are. We have no idea what we are. We have no idea how powerful we are. And it's people like Santos Bonacci, people like Michael Tellinger, people like David Icke. These are some of the people that are going around the world risking their lives to teach you and me about the truth about the past, to teach us the truth about the past, about the ancient past, pre-diluvian past, before the flood. That's why, you know, I'm really, really adamant about staying up on the latest from some of the archaeological digs going on at some of the places like Corral in South America, or Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. Some of these places that are absolutely much older than what we're being told is the definitive age for the pyramids in Giza or any other of the other, or Stonehenge or some of the other archaeological locations around the world. There, Graham Hancock and his wife are digging off the coast of Japan right now. There's a huge megalopolis or big metropolis, megalithic, you know, structures, pyramids, temples, all of the stairways that are so huge humans couldn't possibly climb these stairs. There's a lot of that going on right now. There's off the coast of Japan that's being, you know, excavated. There's so much going on right now that is disproving every single thing that was in the textbooks you and I read as children. So everything you learned in your textbooks as a child in social studies and history class, delete it all from your programming. It's all garbage. It's none of it's true. None of it's true. We were here for more than hundreds of thousands of years. There's been highly advanced, highly technological civilizations on this planet, and the truth is coming to light. And if you don't know this, it's only because you haven't researched this. Please, if you don't know that there have been much more advanced and highly technologically advanced civilizations on this planet, if you need to see the evidence of that, the evidence is here. All you have to do now is get online, get on Google, get on YouTube, get on starpage.com if you don't want your internet searches save, you know, like Google does, but whatever you have to do, get online and research what is being found all over the world. There are pyramids in every country on the planet. Every continent on the planet has multiple pyramids. All of this is coming out now, and the internet is the key. That's been the catalyst for the world being able to condense a whole lot of information that couldn't be collected before. But now you have people like Michael Tellinger going around the world from South Africa. He's going around the world presenting a plethora, amount of information, proving that there's been gold mining on this planet for at least several hundred thousand years, if not a million or 2 million years. The Anunnaki or Nephilim have been mining gold on this planet, using humans for slaves to mine gold for millions, at least hundreds of thousands of years, if not a million or 2 million years, or even more, possibly. We don't know, because this excavation is still unfolding more and more revelations of our ancient past that we don't know about. So if you don't know that this information exists and that it's real and that the proof is there, empirical evidence to prove that ancient gold mining was going on all over South Africa, check out Michael Tellinger. Google this guy. He's got a website. Just go to Google and type in Michael Tellinger, South Africa. You'll find this guy. This man is a genius. He's brave and courageous, and he's risking his life to bring the truth to you about the ancient past. We need to know about where we came from, because we don't know that. And it's coming out now, and the proof is coming out now. So please, please support these people, because they need our help. I mean, like I said, Santos Bonacci just had a murder attempt on his life. This guy is coming out and teaching you guys about how religion has been used to control humanity and the proof of that, so that you can see how to rise and think above that, take control of your own reality, your manifestation power, learn that you are divine, and how to begin removing the programming that says you're not, how to begin removing the fear, how to begin replacing that with love and with the power that is your birthright, that you should be, using on a daily basis to manifest the life that you desire and the life that you deserve as a divine being, as a sovereign divine being. Now, that being said, I want to get back into why I brought Santos Bonacci up in the first place, because someone put in the comments of that post where I requested show topics, someone put sexual liturgy and partners, or tantric sex and sacred sex or twin flame partnerships. And I was mentioning that I was experimenting with this. Last year I went 7 weeks with no sex, and I thought it was a very empowering experience for me. And then I went again this year, went earlier this year, back in late winter, early spring. I went for about 9 weeks without sex, and it was one of the most empowering experiences I could ever imagine experiencing. And now I'm actually going on probably about 3 weeks now without any sex, and I'm hoping to be able to take that a little further. I've been studying some of what Santos Bonacci teaches about sacred sex, and I'll tell you, one of the things that really struck me as being remarkable and something worthy of my attention and something worthy of my research and study was that he suggested that it's possible to lay down next to your twin flame on a bed without touching your twin flame, without touching anyone physically, and you guys to have an orgasm without touching each other. That this is actually not physically, but possible to do using your mind and using your twin flame connection. Now, I know that a lot of people may hear that and think, whoa, that sounds Looney Tune. It sounds stupid. Are you crazy? But you have to remember, Mary, Jesus's mom, supposedly had Jesus via Immaculate Conception, or without ever being known by Joseph or by a male. So if she was a virgin and she conceived, then either that was a miracle of the highest order, or it was some science being used that most of us have lost the history or the memory of, but it actually exists, And the ancient scriptures speak of this, and that's what tantric sex is all about. Now, I'm not an expert on this at all by any means, and I don't want to come off as such, but I do want to say that I believe that Santos Bonacci, I believe that Teal Swan, some of these philosophers and lecturers are out here giving out this kind of information, and I think it's worthy, I mean, it's worth checking into, because since I removed lower vibrational sex, meaning going out to a club, meeting someone, they're hot, you think they're hot, they think you're hot, you go home or you go to a hotel or you go somewhere, you have sex, and, you know, that has led to more negative consequences in my life than almost anything else. So what I'd like to say is that after removing lower vibrational sex from my life, I have been receiving nothing but blessing after blessing after blessing, and my resources and my energy and my time and my kundalini is being reserved for causes that I that are near and dear to my heart, rather than being wasted on lower vibrational people who mean me no good. So that being said, I don't expect anyone, because I know when I first came across this concept in the beginning, I wasn't ready to just jump into not having sex, and I didn't know what to do with the sexual energy. But what I would invite you to do is to start looking into it. Figure out why people have been studying and utilizing tantric sex and tantra for thousands of years. Thousands. See, we live in a country that's only 400 years old. Here, the United States is a very, very young country. So the culture here is only 400 years old. And it's a toxic culture. If not, if it wasn't, then over half of the country wouldn't be on prescription medications and overweight and unhealthy. And some of the most lower vibrational people on the planet, because we only focus on lower vibrational things in this country. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in this country is lower vibrational, and I'm not saying that everybody in this country, you know, is experiencing the toxicity of American culture. Some people are able to exist here and vibrate above that, but many of us are not. And one of the reasons is, I think, is that not only is it that we are being attacked on so many different levels with toxic food, toxic electronic stimulation via TV and media and these kind of things, plus everything in the airwaves that's all around us, you know, the 4G, and now they're moving up to 5G, and you have all of these municipalities that are suing the FCC and suing the companies that are putting up these 5G towers that have been known, already proven to cause cancer. And I'm just saying that we're all being attacked in so many different ways. And one of the ways that I think that we're being attacked that is affecting us the most is through sex and through the media and how it programs us to desire and to justify in our minds that it's okay to have low, to participate in lower vibrational sex and to desire lower vibrational sex. It's like we are in a very, very bad place with sex in this country. And I think that anything that can be done to get us in a better place, you know, should be done. So that being said, I would like to introduce the concept of higher vibrational sex. For example, tantra. And I'm not saying, like, once again, I'm not an expert on the subject, but I do believe that there are experts on the subject. And I do believe that Santos Bonacci is one of them. And I recommend you guys check him out. If you get on YouTube and you type in Santos Bonacci, or you go to his channel, Mr. Astro Theology, and subscribe to him. But go through his videos. He's got one. It was an interview of some kid interviewing him on his radio show, and he's given a very, very comprehensive discussion or lecture about tantric sex and about twin flame sacred sex. And it really gave me some food for thought. And I would like to invite you guys to check it out, because I believe that one of the keys to rising in consciousness is to take control of the things that are toxic to you. and toxic sex is one of the things that affected my life in negative ways more than almost anything else. And I would bet money that many of you have had the same experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to judge ourselves and feel like we're bad people because we've made bad decisions in the past with our sexual energy. But moving forward, guess what? Forgive yourself about the past. Forgive yourself. You're human. Now, moving forward, what do you want to do? You want to make really good decisions. You want to move forward in consciousness. You want to rise in consciousness. Well, then let's stop the things that are making us vibrate low. Like, for example, you watch porn and it says, hey, you go and you put your penis in this woman that you don't know or don't care about just because she's hot. And then in the end, you know, you got a disease or you got her pregnant or you just feel like crap because that didn't do anything for your soul. It did nothing for your consciousness. So anyway, I don't want to go too hard on this topic because, like I said, I'm not an expert in tantric sex and I'm really just learning about some of this myself, but I am practicing it. And for those of you who believe that you're a grown man, and if you're a masculine male and you're straight like me, then, you know, it's impossible for you to go a day or two or a week or 2 weeks without sex, without going crazy. I'm here to tell you, man, I've been married twice. I have 3 children. I love sex just as much as the next man. I've had probably more than most men. And guess what? I have went 2 months, 9 weeks straight without any sex. And I wasn't horny every day because there is a way to channel and dissipate that sexual energy into something else. It's creative energy. All you have to do is paint, draw, write a song. If you do something else with that creative energy, you'll find that you won't be horny. It's really that simple. And now you have all this sexual energy built up and you can channel it into something powerful and manifest powerful things with that sexual energy. There's a girl, Teal Swan, T-E-A-L, Swan. Listen to this girl. She's on YouTube. And I'm not saying, like, once again, just like with Santos Bonacci, I might not agree with all the conclusions that some of these lecturers and philosophers draw, but the information being presented is something worth thinking about, considering, and adding to your repertoire of knowledge. But this girl, Teal Swan, does give a lecture on YouTube about manifesting with orgasm. I think that it's worth a listen. If you guys listen to that, I'm sure that you will have some ideas about ways that you can utilize sexual energy in other ways than giving it away to somebody that you met at a club tonight. And I mean, hey, I know that our culture says that that's cool. And I grew up thinking myself that I wasn't a man if I didn't go out and have sex with as many beautiful women as I could. And the more beautiful women that I was able to score with, then the hotter that, the cooler that made me. But you know what? I don't validate myself off conquest anymore. That's kind of stupid and it's kind of low vibration and it costs me more than it ever paid me. So now let's move forward in love and light. Let's find, if even it's necessary to find, but let's have a tantric connection. Let's have a twin flame connection, a love and light soulmate connection with somebody that you're going to lay down and give your seed to. We're talking about your progeny. You're talking about your babies. You're going to put that in somebody you don't even love, you don't even care about. I mean, think about it. It's kind of stupid. But anyway, I'm not here to judge. I'm not trying to be condescending, and I don't want anybody to feel judged or feel negative about what I'm saying. I just want to bring to light some ideas that may be useful in rising in consciousness. And like I said, I can only really speak from my experience, so I'm going to tell you what has been working for me. I haven't had sex in about almost 3 weeks now. Not that I couldn't if I wanted to, but I'm using that energy for something else. And I can't tell you, I feel more powerful right now than I ever have in my life. I feel more positive now than I ever have in my life. I feel more free now than I ever have in my life, because the demons that were locking me down into certain lower vibrational things no longer exist in my life because I shook them off. I let them go. I have no desire for them anymore, because once you see how powerful you can become when you shake them off, it gets easy to say no to that. But anyway, that's another story. I just wanted to bring that sexual energy partners to that sexual energy and sexual partners topic to your attention, because it was mentioned in the comments of that one post where I requested that our listeners post topics that they wanted me to discuss on the show, and that was one of the topics that I was told to discuss. Michael Elliott, thanks for joining the show, fam. He said, love the knowledge, famo. Well, I'm glad you do, and I appreciate you for joining the show. Thanks for tuning in. Who else is here? Hannah Vecino, Dreda Lee. Thank you guys for joining the show. I don't know who else is here, but Patrick Dallas came in, but he said his computer died, but he popped off. Bad invites to your show right before. I appreciate you, Patrick. Patrick Dallas owns the Headspace out in Denver, Colorado. It's a clothing company that sells psychedelic festival looking kind of festival clothes and stuff. He's a really cool guy. Educates a lot of people on a lot of positive things. I actually learned a lot from him back at the Imagine Fest in Atlanta back in September, man. And I just wanted to give him a shout out because I see that he tried to join the show and then his computer died. But anyway, let's get back to the topics at hand. I was going to go through a list of some of the things that people put in that one post and that they wanted me to talk about on the next show. And one of them was meditation. So meditation, I guess that could be a topic for a full show, but I'm not sure if we would need for it to be a topic for a full show, because with meditation, I think that everybody really meditates. For me, meditation is pretty much what I'm thinking about at any given time. I don't necessarily spend a great deal of personal time in quiet, undistracted meditation myself anymore. I used to do it a lot because where I was consciously, I felt the need to, and for me to learn how to disconnect from my body, if you will, go to the astral plane without any shamanic technology or any substances, I needed to go through a meditation stage where I learned how to clear my chakras and I learned how to align my chakras and then pull myself out of my body. It was actually a method that I learned in a book by by Robert Bruce called Astral Dynamics. That's A-S-T-R-A-L Dynamics. In that book, he outlines a step-by-step, systematic, methodical approach to astral travel, to OBE, out-of-body experience, and how to do that without any drugs. Anyone can do it. All you need to do is be able to think. And I know that all of you can do that. So rather than going into a whole lot of dialogue on meditation, when there's so many different angles and approaches to that, really it's just about being quiet, learning to control your breathing, and focusing on, you know, what you choose to focus on, whether it be just clearing your mind, healing your body, manifesting something using a law of attraction. There's a whole lot that you can do with meditation. But personally, I would recommend anyone seeking to learn the benefits of meditation and what to do with it, to read Astral Dynamics by Robert Bruce. It's a book I recommend to so many people for so many different reasons, but it's powerful. So a good bit of a read. The original version that I had was about 550 or 60 pages. And now I believe that the latest edition that my friend Monique Chavez just bought a couple of weeks ago had about 300 and something pages in it. So they have a revised edition where they've kind of compacted it down a little bit. So maybe it's a little less information, maybe took out some of the information that maybe wasn't needed or whatever. But I'd recommend grabbing that book if you're looking to get into higher consciousness. If you're looking to learn more about the astral plane, he has a really big chapter on the Akashic Record. He talks about Akashic Pulse, which is a coin he actually termed about a phenomenon that happens in the astral plane, a pulse that happens that I haven't heard anybody explain or try to talk about. But you got to give that book a good read. Robert Bruce is a genius, and he talks about so many things that will give you a vernacular and a lexicon to use when trying to describe your experiences in the astral plane to people who have not had that experience yet. Because I recall the first time I ever smoked DMT and left my body, or if you will, or disconnected, went to the astral plane. When I came back, I was pretty much speechless, because even though I had studied DMT for 3 months before I smoked it the first time and I read a whole lot about it, this was 13 years ago, I had no words to use to describe this to people who had not done it. I felt like I was so alone because I didn't really know anyone who had done DMT, and I didn't know how to break this down to anybody. It wasn't until I started really listening to a lot of lectures from people like Terrence McKenna and people who had done DMT, just so that I could have like educated people who had doctorates and who are also really good at English, so that I could start learning words to use to describe what I was experiencing, because I just had no words for it. So anyway, Long story short, that is my suggestion to whoever posted the meditation topic. I would say read that book on called Astrodynamics by Robert Bruce, and it'll give you a good start. And anybody that has any questions about that, feel free to log into the show. I mean, feel free to leave a comment right now. Anyway, the next topic for discussion is going to be, negative energy, taking your life even when you don't even realize, and how to protect yourself from it happening. Well, that's a pretty good topic. Let's see. Negative energy, taking your light. So if you feel like you're having an issue with someone draining you, taking your energy, and especially when you don't realize it. Now, that's the hard part, when you don't realize it. I guess for me it would be hard, because I would realize it because I'm very well versed in energy these days. But when I was younger, maybe not so much. What I would suggest is this. If it feels good, and I don't mean feels good to your body pleasurably, I mean if it feels good to your spirit, if you feel good in someone's presence, then there's a good chance that they're not draining your energy. If someone is making you feel drained, I feel like you kind of, most people would really, if they paid attention to it, they would know when someone's draining their energy. And if someone is draining your energy, the best way to disable their ability to do so is to expose it. Because like in the book, the Celestine Prophecy was a book that I read about 20 years ago. And it was the first book that gave me insight. No pun intended. The book is talking about nine insights. But it's the first book that gave me insight into what the author calls, the author James Redfield calls, dramas. And not drama in the sense of how we use it today, like starting drama as in a fight or some beef, but causing drama like, I mean, not causing drama, but he used the term drama to describe the method that someone uses to steal energy. And he described how there are different dramas that different people have, because we all come from different walks of life. And you learn your drama in childhood. When you're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, you learn to steal people's energy as young as a baby. You know, when you need your mom's energy, you start crying. When you 2, 3, 4 years old, you know, people whine, people do the poor me, or sometimes people bully. Sometimes people just, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people steal energy. And so you have to understand that we all have dramas. Everyone has a drama. Now, sometimes you can learn your drama, and you can learn to avoid doing that to people, which I've done. But anybody can be guilty of this. Anybody can not be paying attention and get off into their tangent or into their conversation, maybe not realize that everyone else in the room is becoming a little uncomfortable because you're taking up too much of the energy, and you won't give anybody you won't pause in your conversation and give people a chance to chime in and add their thoughts and feel like they're all part of the conversation. If that happens, then you're stealing energy, and that may be your drama. So it's nice to know how to monitor the energy in a room and not be that person that's stealing the energy, but rather let's all share the energy and share the conversation and share it and keep it in balance. And then no one's feeling like their energy is being stolen. Those are the kind of conversations, those are the kind of crowds that most people want to be around. Now, when you're around someone who is using a drama that they don't recognize they're using, or maybe they even do recognize that they're using it, but they're stealing your energy, what do you do to stop that? Well, the first thing to do, and the most powerful and effective way to stop that, I would think, is to expose the drama. Say something. If you can't speak up for yourself and say, hey, you're stealing my energy and this is how you're doing it, then they're probably not going to stop. So you expose it. That's the first thing. Now, if you expose it to someone, I mean, I don't know how many strikes you give someone before they're out, but I personally am not going to give someone too many strikes. You know, I feel like my time is very valuable. I feel like my friendship is very valuable, and anybody that I allow to connect with me is going to respect my energy and is going to respect my time and my friendship and not use a drama to steal my energy. And if you do that for long, you're probably going to lose my friendship, or you're going to lose your ability to be around me. So that being said, expose it. And if that doesn't work, I mean, you can avoid the person. And if it's the kind of person that you can't avoid, for whatever reason, maybe your boss, maybe somebody at work, maybe your mom or dad, maybe your lover, you have to communicate. You have to communicate with them and let them know what's happening. And you have to let them know that, look, I have this much time and this much energy for you, and then I'm going to need some for myself. And if you're not going to allow me to have energy to myself and you're going to constantly steal my energy, then we're going to have a problem. And whatever that problem is up to you. I can't really dictate everyone's life. I'm just going to tell you how I operate in mine. You're not going to steal my energy. I'll give you some because I'm a love-based person and I love people and I want to help. I'll give you my time and attention and I'll give you my wisdom if I have something to give your situation, but you're not going to steal my energy. And I suggest all of you who are able to recognize someone using a drama to steal your energy to expose it. Simple as that. So I hope that answered your question. And if it didn't, feel free to say something in the comments and I will expound on it further if necessary. The next topic that was listed in that post asking for show topics was, it says, talk about language and words, how it affects our energy. For example, road rage. Now that's an interesting thing to discuss. Well, for one, there's definitely power in words. As any magic user knows, you cast a spell with words that you have written using spelling. There is a consensus in the pre-Diluvian history community that human beings prior to the Tower of Babel were telepathic. I actually personally prescribe to that version of history. And that in the Bible, when it says in Genesis that man has become as one of us, let us go down and confound their language. There's different ways to translate what the original scriptures said in that passage. Some people suggest that it was to confuse their language. Some people think that it was to introduce spoken sound language to humans. Some people seem to believe that it was to take our thought language, our telepathic version of communication, and make it lower vibrational. So that as above, so below, but below is much more lower vibrational, so that came out as sound and speech. And one of the best quotes that I've heard that I like to repeat is that language was invented so that men could lie. And I believe that. I believe that 100%, because as someone who has had telepathic communication before with a human, with plants, with an animal, or more than one animal, and as someone who knows that telepathic communication is possible, it's that much more easy for me to imagine a civilization on this planet where telepathy was the normal mode of communication. And if human beings were at that place in history before, it would be easy to imagine how cohesive we would be as a society. And that would make our evolution accelerate at a rate that would probably blow most people's minds to even think about it. So if we did that, then our technology and our spirituality and all would all be elevating and evolving rapidly. And we would get to a level of technology that would allow for something like the Tower of Babel being built. So if we were made to lose the telepathic ability, which the consensus seems to be that we lost that ability through genetic manipulation of our DNA. How that was introduced, there's some debate on it, but it could have been through RNA interference technology, which is one of the things that seems to be affecting humans today. They're targeting us through our produce. And then, you know, all of the different genetic attacks that are going on from whatever they're spraying in the air in these chemtrails. And for any of you who think that the word chemtrails is something only conspiracy theorists talk about, I highly advise you to get on Google and do some research. There are so many whistleblowers from the Air Force and all of you know, the military industrial complex who have come out and given so much information about chemtrails. It's undisputable that that's real. So if you haven't seen any empirical evidence on chemtrails, what they're there for and what's being done with them, I highly suggest you get on Google and do some research. That's real. So I'm not sure if that was the technology used to change human DNA from telepathic beings to beings that were forced to use speech to communicate, but something has changed and altered our DNA more than once throughout human history. See, we're given a false record. We're given a whole lot of theories in school that are bullshit theories that are based on assumptions and falsely drawn conclusions on a tiny body of evidence. A itty bitty body of evidence that, you know, 50, 60, 80 years ago, the totality of science that was known was only able to come to certain conclusions. And many of those conclusions, you know, had nefarious means that made them be drawn in the first place. But there's been so much revelation in archaeology and etymology and DNA. There's been so many revelations in science since then that has destroyed 95% of the assumptions that are in most of the books that are taught in schools, at least public schools in the United States, so that what's still being taught in history books and science books today, it's pure bullshit. It's all fucking garbage. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to say this to be a conspiracy theorist or to take shots at the government. All you have to do is get online and start researching. If you were to just read Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, and learn about epigenetics alone, you would already know that everything we're taught in health class is bullshit. Everything we're taught in health class, everything we're taught in science class about health is bullshit. All of it. All of it. We are taught that we need a pill to fix something in our body. And epigenetics has proven empirically in repeatable lab studies that your mind can control and create and manifest cells into to do whatever you want them to do. You can heal your body with your mind. That's why I even got into this in the first place. Healing your body with your mind is as simple as learning how to think. And most of us don't know how to do that. I advise, recommend, endorse, admonish all of you to grab this book called The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. There's books by Joe Dispenza on epigenetics. There's a lot of people that are pioneers in this not so new field, but it's about, you know, the 80s since a lot of people have started doing a lot of research into epigenetics. But there's indisputable evidence, indisputable empirical evidence that proves that your mind can heal your body with no medicine, with no surgery, with no nothing but just thought. This is proven. Now, if you don't know that, it's only because you haven't done the research. I advise you to start with that book. It's probably the most comprehensive book on the subject that any an eight-year-old can read that book and get it. So I know you can too. So that being said, I have a lot of people in my family. I have a lot of friends. I have people that are going through health issues. And I hope that any of them listening right now that trust me and know that my integrity is not here to be bought. and that I would never endorse a book, or I would never endorse an author, or I would never endorse anything that I don't believe in, that I don't believe would really, really help. And I can honestly tell you that when I read The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton, that book helped me become even more of a healer than I already was. Because before I read that book, 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, when I did my first ayahuasca ceremony, I remembered that I know how to heal with my mind. And I healed permanent damage in my knees, permanent damage that I had been experiencing for 10 years. So if you had, I tore ACLs in both of my knees in my mid-20s playing basketball. Everyone who knows me knows I play basketball, and I play basketball hard. You can get on my Facebook, go through my Facebook and find countless videos of me playing basketball. I stayed at Export Fitness in Chicago for years playing basketball, like with 21-year-olds as hard as I can, because that's my sport and I love to do it. And even with damage to my knees, after my mid-20s, I continued playing basketball with young guys. I'm 43 years old now. I rolled my ankle earlier this year playing hard basketball on Foster Beach on concrete with a bunch of youngsters. I played basketball hard. Now, that being said, I injured both of my knees in my 20s. And for about 10 years, a little over 10 years after those injuries, I experienced what I would call arthritic type pain in my joints after I would play basketball. And I go play for 2, 3, 4. I've played up to 5 hours straight of basketball before. And my knees wouldn't hurt during play because the adrenaline's pumping and the endorphins are going everywhere. So you don't feel the pain I didn't feel the pain while I was playing. But the next day, I would wake up, my knees would hurt. They wouldn't hurt bad. I could walk, but I would feel the pain. And it was at first, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, let them heal a little more, it'll go away. 10 years later, that never went away. It hurt up to 10 years, 11 years after those injuries. Well, guess what? My first ayahuasca ceremony, I remembered that I know how to turn my hands into balls of light and put them on a physical body and heal it. And I did that. And guess what? A day or two later, after that ceremony, I went and played basketball. And I played for 4 hours. And I woke up the next day, and I didn't experience any knee pain at all. And I haven't since then. And I'm 43. So I can't tell you what to do with your body, but I can promise you I don't have to lie about what I did with mine. And I'm not anything that you're not. I'm consciousness in a body, the same as Jesus, the same as you, the same as Moses, the same as Muhammad, the same as Confucius, the same as Zoroaster, the same as Quetzalcoatl, the same as every other human being that's ever lived. We are all one. We are all the same, and we all have the same power of mind to heal anything in our bodies. Now, most of us have been programmed from birth that we can't do that. And I'm here to tell you that if you know that you can't heal yourself, then you can't. It's that simple. You've already killed yourself with fear by knowing you can't do it. But if you can change your mind, then you can change your body. And if you don't know where to start, I suggest reading or listening to on Audible, The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. Give it a listen. It can't hurt. I mean, what? Spend $5 on Audible, $10, whatever it costs. Listen to this one book. And if you listen to that book and you don't see the possibility of healing yourself with your mind, then maybe we need to have a little talk. Maybe you didn't understand what evidence was being presented in the book and how empirical that evidence is, how this can be proven in study after study and repeatable experiment. In repeatable experiment, you can turn fat cells into protein cells. You can turn protein cells into bone cells. You can turn bone cells into skin cells because they're all made of atoms of energy. They're all made of the exact same thing. What we're being taught in health class is not just untrue. It's a fucking lie. And guess what? It's being backed by who? Big Pharma. The people who want to sell you Band-Aids and pills instead of giving you the cure, which is you can cure yourself with your mind. Now, see, I don't have that many followers at this point. I have a lot of people that follow me. I've got probably 2,000 friends on Facebook. I got a bunch of followers on Instagram and stuff like that, and on my Facebook pages for my music and this and that. But I don't have like 500,000 followers. So I'm not a big threat right now to Big Pharma. I'm not a big threat right now to the powers that be that want you having Band-Aids and pills rather than spiritual education that will allow you to heal yourself with your mind. But I can promise you this. Someone like Santos Bonacci did not just get attacked by a knife-wielding killer who he had to kill. That didn't happen because he's not a threat. That happened because he's giving out life-saving information that is making people free of Big Pharma. It's making people free of the need to depend on the government for your life. Now, that being said, we're going to talk about the last topic that I would just mention that someone posted in that post where I was requesting show topics. They said, talk about language and words, how it affects our energy. Road rage, for example. So one of the things that I wanted to bring up about health and how language and words affects that is the emotion that we tie to words. See, we live in a box called language. Most of us don't think in thought. We think in English, or we think in Spanish, or we think in the language that we were programmed to speak since birth. But think about this. If you were never taught a language and you were raised in the woods by animals, you never heard language, you would still be able to think. But you would be thinking much broader. You would not be locked into language. And that's the box that we all live in. So learning about language, learning more languages, broadens your box, broadens your world. That's why the people who are the most free usually speak more languages. So one of the things I want to bring up is like road rage, for example. She said, when you wake up in the morning. Think about this. You wake up in the morning, you stub your toe on your bed. And what's the first thing you go? You go, God damn, argh! And you scream profane things. And you feel extreme negative emotion that you attach to those words. And then what happens? You get outside, your car won't start, you got a flat tire, or you get stuck in traffic, you get to work, you're late, your boss is pissed. Your whole day snowballs into a messed up day because you started the day off with extreme negative emotion. Now, what if you woke up and the first thing you experienced upon waking up was your significant other massaging your body? You woke up to getting a massage and you got a full body massage making you feel so much joy, extreme joy, just rubbing your entire body. Everything making you feel so good. And then your significant other proceeds to make sweet love to you, the best love the significant other has ever made to you, making you feel extreme joy. The first thing that you experience starting your day is not just joy or wake up and say, oh, thank you, God. You wake up and feel extreme joy, the opposite of what happened when you stubbed your toe. So instead of your day snowballing into a negative day, now starting your day off on a beautiful, positive, extremely positive note makes your day go extremely beautiful. Now you go to work, you got a raise you didn't know was coming, was parking spot right by the door. Everything goes well for you. You hit every green light going to work. You, because how you think creates your day, creates your reality. So when you're able to keep your mind focused on extreme love, extreme joy, extreme appreciation, then you are going to attract more things from the universe that are going to bring those kind of feelings to you. So it is very, very paramount to avoid road rage. You can't avoid road accidents and road people who are negative. And life is going to throw negative things at you. That's life. If it didn't happen, life wouldn't be fun. You want life to throw negative things at you because it gives you a challenge. Can I still
feel love? Can I still feel appreciation despite the fact that life is throwing negative things at me? Oh, I hurt myself. I have a slight injury, or maybe it's a bad injury, or maybe someone in my family's sick, or maybe my kid's sick, or maybe someone in my family just died, or maybe I just lost my job, or maybe my car just exploded, or maybe. There's a million, trillion, gazillion, endless maybes of negative things that the universe can throw at you. And even though you think that you might not have attracted those things to you, you did. But what is the result of how you deal with that depends on how you deal with it. If you allow that external circumstance to make your internal feel negative, then you're only snowballing the negative, and now you're going to introduce more negative experience. However, if you are able to go through something negative in your life, no matter how negative it is, and still experience appreciation in your mind, and still use love and appreciation as the filter for how you see your situation, then you are still vibrating high. And you will attract higher vibrational things, and you will make that negative situation go away because you didn't filter, you didn't use the filter of fear to analyze this and to deal with it. You use the filter of love and appreciation. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. And I understand that, which is why I offer people different methods for learning how to become a more love-based, appreciation-based thinker. You have to learn to reprogram your mind to always see the bright side. I know it's not easy, but guess what? I spent time in prison. I spent 2.5 years in prison being happy every single day because I learned how to always see the bright side, to always appreciate, because you can always see the bad side of anything. But let me put it like this. Well, let me just explain to you how I went about reprogramming myself when I first found out that the law of attraction is real. And when I first found out that even if you're not consciously and deliberately trying to use the law of attraction, you're still using it, because we're all magicians. Just because you've been told by preachers or whoever, maybe in your school or church or wherever, you've been told that someone who does magic is a bad person, well, then that makes you a bad person, because we all do magic. Magic is thinking. A magician only creates by thinking. That's the only way to create, is by thinking. So when you think, you're using magic. You can call it what you want, but it's magic. And if you're thinking something, then you're drawing whatever emotion you're attaching to your thoughts is going to draw or push away that visualization that you're thinking to you. So if you are thinking about money and you're fearing not having money, then you're pushing money away. But if you only have 50 cents, but you appreciate that 50 cents because you know that there's people on this planet who don't have 50 cents, and you can find a way to not feel negative and not feel the spirit of lack, then you're going to draw more abundance to you. Now, for those of you who can't seem to find a way to focus on appreciation in the worst of situations, let me elaborate on what I did in order to change my mind from a spirit of lack and a spirit of fear to a spirit of abundance and a spirit of love and appreciation. Here's what I did. I asked myself, how many people on this planet would kill someone in their family to be in my shoes? And you know, that number is probably over 3 billion. Maybe more, probably more. But I think we take it for granted in this country. We throw away more food in this country. I mean, if most Americans knew how many people around the world could get fed off what we throw away, most of us would probably live a much more minimalist lifestyle. We'd probably consume less. We'd probably throw away more throw away less garbage. We'd probably waste less food. We'd probably be less picky about what we eat, because there's a lot of people on this planet who would kill to have a social security number so that they could come to this country and get food stamps or welfare and have free food. So if you think that as an American with a social security number who lives in the richest country in the world, you have a right to complain, I mean, you got a right to, I guess. But you're stupid if you do, because complaining is fear. Feeling negative and seeing the negative side, it's only fear. And you're only going to attract more negativity to your life. But if you're able to, at the worst of times, think about the 3 or 4 billion people on this planet who would kill someone to be you, who would kill someone to have that raggedy car that you got, but can still get you from A to B when they don't even have a horse. Someone who would kill to be in your shoes because you're eating McDonald's every day and that's all you can afford. But hey, they can't even get a scrap of bread because there's no food in their village. They live in a place where only a psychotic psychopath would throw a piece of bread into a trash can. No one would throw food in the trash can in some places on this planet, because that would be like they'd take you to a shrink. What would you do that for? There's no food here. Are you stupid? But here we go dumping tons and tons of food in the trash cans every day in this country. We take it for granted. And taking it for granted is not love and abundance. It's not thinking with appreciation. That's fear. And it's waste. So what I'm saying is the next time that you're in a negative situation, the next time you lost your job, or the next time your boss is cursing you out, or the next time somebody breaks up with you, or the next time anything negative happens to you that makes you feel negative, I want you to think about the woman in that village in some desert-ridden town where lack of rain just caused them to have famine, all their crops died, and now she's watching 3 or 4 of her children with their stomachs swelling up and flies flying around them because they don't have any food and they're getting sick now and they don't have clean water. I want you to think about that woman watching her kids die and she has no choice and there's nothing she can do about it because war, soldiers, desert, whatever has her locked into this place where she is and there's no way out. And all she can do is sit here and watch her kids die. Do you think she would let kill one of her kids so that she could give 2 of them your life? I want you to think about that the next time you feel negative, the next time you let anything in your life bring you down or make you feel negative. In America, if you feel negative about anything, you're wasting your mind. You're wasting your imagination. You are actually, in my opinion, ignorant of what your power is if you allow any negative emotions to come out of your mind, because there are 3-4 billion people who would kill to be you. And if you can't find any thoughts in your mind about people around the planet who would kill to be you, then all you have to do is get on Google and type in poverty. Type in poverty and click on images. Click on video in the Congo. Click on video in some of these countries where it's war-torn and they don't have any food and people are dying and there's no medicine. All you have to do is focus on people who would kill to be you. And if that doesn't make you appreciate your life, I don't know what to tell you. Go to some other guru and maybe they have other ways to teach you how to focus on appreciation and love. But that's what I did. And it made me change my mind around really, really quickly. And I started to always appreciate everything in my life. No matter how much lacking I thought I was doing, I still have more than most of the people on this planet. And so do you. And so I said that to say that using other people's negative situations to cause yourself to appreciate your own is a pretty powerful way to use the law of attraction to your advantage rather than to your disadvantage, like most of us do on a regular basis. So, that being said, I advise you guys to watch the words that you say out of your mouth. Because when you vocalize something with sound, you create a sound that is a frequency, it's energy going out in a sound wave of frequency in every direction forever. And that sound has power in it, and it tells the universe what to bring back to you. So make sure that you only say beautiful things, love things, appreciation things. Don't say fear things. Don't call yourself stupid when you make a mistake. Oh, fuck, I'm so stupid. What was I thinking? Don't ever, ever, ever give voice to something that you don't want to manifest, because your voice has manifestation power. Wake up every day and say, I am abundance, that I am. Wake up every day and say, I am health, that I am. I am vitality, that I am. I am appreciation, that I am. I am intelligence, that I am. I am life, that I am. I am higher consciousness, that I am. I'm Jericho Spitz, the host of your show, Talking Higher Consciousness, that I am. I don't see anybody leaving any comments. No one's called in. So I think I'm going to wrap it up for now. I went through all of the topics that people wanted to discuss and left in that one post in the group. I will post up another post after the show, and hopefully people can leave some topics that they want discussed, and hopefully they'll join in the next show and become part of the dialogue about those topics. Hey, Lynn, I see my cousin Lynn joined into the show. I'm so glad to see you, baby girls. I'm glad you're listening. I miss you. I can't wait to see you. And I'm hoping that I get more of my family members in here to some of this dialogue, because I have a lot that I'd like to talk to some of my family members about. There's a lot of healing. Every family needs to go through a lot of healing. And, you know, I think I've got some ideas on how to help people with that kind of thing. So anyway, the next show is going to be next Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, since I'm now not in Chicago anymore. I moved down to Florida, and I'm going to be down here for a while. So I'll be filming my shows on the East Coast in all this warmth, not freezing anymore, thank God. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Arnett, Monique, Lynn, Mike, Hanya, everybody, I appreciate you joining the show. And I look for you guys to tune in next week. And that's it for now. I'm your host, Jericho Spitz. Thanks for joining Talking Higher Consciousness. Catch us on the THC Show.com. Peace.